Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Surgery Endorsement Maintenance Follow-Up Conference Call. Just a quick note, today's call is being recorded. Please stand by.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Surgery Endorsement Maintenance Steering Committee Conference Call. And today, the committee will be discussing the submitted comments for the Phase 2 measures, as well as additional follow-up from some of the Phase 2 measures that haven't gone to comment yet. The committee will also be discussing the AAA-related and competing measures, looking at harmonization plans, and also reviewing the new SCAP measure number 1741. I'd now like to turn the call over to Melinda Murphy.
Just a couple of things, Alexis and Dr. Morse and Dr. Torchiana. Looking at the table that we'll start with, just wanted to remind everyone of what you saw in the message that Alexis sent earlier. In the table, you see the measure developer responses to the comments in blue. You see proposed steering committee response in brownish color. And you'll note that that is a proposed response developed by NQF staff to help expedite the work, but every single comment is open to your discussion as you wish. What we are suggesting is that for those items that are for which the cell is highlighted in green, that you do not need to address those because either they require no action or they are addressed in another item, and if that is the case, the item ID is identified. So I wanted also to tell you that the items in the table do not follow the same numbering as the items in the agenda in terms of review, and that is because the items in the agenda are organized by topic area, and the items in the table are identified by measure number in order. So with that, unless there are any questions about the table, then I would turn to Drs. Morris and Torchiana.
Arden, are you on the line?
Did you just ask if I'm on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, I sure am.
Why don't you go ahead? I have one quick comment. Why don't you go first?
Okay. So we're going to move on to the Phase 2 draft. And in the table, which is hopefully displayed in our... Yeah. The first item number is not really showing up on my screen. Here we go. Also, is it possible to make this page any larger on our screens?
This is Jessica. I think you'll have to maximize it in the top right-hand corner of your screen.
It's already maximized, yeah, but it's just tiny.
I can try to make it a little bigger, but it probably won't all fit on your screen.
Okay.
You might have to use the PDF document that I sent on Friday.
Yeah, but that's what I'll be going to next. So it looks like we're starting with measure number 1250. Is that correct? And just looking at the...
That's the identification number of the comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And that's a...
Measure, so is it 134?
1523 and 1534 are the measures that are referenced along with ARC measures and comment number 1250.
Okay.
So that's what's confusing. There's an identification number on the far left, and the topic number or measure number is in the column on the far right. And that one's listed as a general.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and open up the PDF that you emailed to see if I can see that better.
So, Arden, if I could just say while you're doing that, that...
Sure.
I have this printed out, which I know is not good for the environment, but there are 80 pages in this section,
yeah,
for which we have 45 minutes. fair number of them are green, and hopefully we won't have many comments on the greens, but we do need to be efficient in stepping through this.
All right, so is our first one
1523
and 1534 then?
Correct.
I just want to let the group know, this is Tim Kreswick from the Society for Vascular Surgery, so we're on the line at least if there are any questions that you want to address. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so can everybody else see this besides me?
Yeah, I can see it.
I can. Yep.
Okay, great. So our committee expressed concerns about, wait a minute, our committee expressed multiple concerns and asked some questions, and we got responses from the SVS. And just looking at the measure developer response, we recommended that ARC and SVS meet to harmonize. And we encourage the SVS to make a recommendation for an enhanced risk adjustment model. And the measure was revised. Let's see, to report separate mortality rates and volume. And so the proposed response from our committee is that we are charged with responsibility to evaluate the related measures in terms of harmonization. And it sounds like the measure developers we asked the measure developers to collaborate on harmonization and bring the results of that to the NQF. And as I understand it, those two groups are willing to collaborate, but as we discussed earlier, we don't actually have a plan for the harmonization. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that's what we'll be looking for from the organization.
That's what we had asked for. And the comment that you see in on the left is actually a comment submitted and then because it referenced both their measures and the ARC measures, ARC was given the opportunity to respond as well, and the item in blue is the ARC response.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay. So really the black font is basically all from the SES and the blue is all from ARC?
Correct.
Okay. So we're looking for ARC and SES to basically collaborate to harmonize. And I don't think that we specifically asked in our proposed response for them to submit a plan for harmonization. I may be missing it. Does anybody else see our request for an actual plan for harmonization in this response?
Pardon me, what measure number are you on?
I'm looking at, oh, gosh, I hope I'm on the right one. I'm looking at 1523 and 1534. I'm on a different page than you guys because I can't see the screen, the font. It's too tiny for me.
I can't even get it up on my screen.
If you
okay.
open up the PDF that was sent on Friday, it's 5 of 256.
Martin, I would say what I'm looking at, you're exactly on the right point. So you're reading about the right measures and you're reading the right material.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
This is Terry. I just want to note that in the SVS response, it says at the bottom of the second paragraph, but we believe that the ARC mortality measures are conceptually flawed and operationally defective. So that doesn't seem like a very steady ground upon which to build.
Good point.
Yeah, this is Tim Kreswick from the SVS. Let me just make a comment in terms of the problems with harmonization. Is we're really talking about two fundamentally different approaches, and so it's a little bit like mixing apples and oranges. The ARC measures are based on claims data, and it's an adjustment model based on claims data. And there have been some changes that are definitely in the right direction. Before, all the different procedures, ruptures, endovascular repairs, open repairs, were all lumped into one model. And although we don't see it spelled out, apparently they have seen that it is advantageous to split those out. But just to contrast so that everybody understands, our model is basically saying that for many aneurysms, the ones that are not exceedingly large, we think that there shouldn't be any risk adjustment. In other words, I'll just try to give a quick example. If you had a small or an aneurysm that was 5 centimeters, you don't want to give a surgeon credit for the fact that the patient is 85 years old and has severe congestive heart failure. So our approach is that getting aneurysms based on size, that there should be no risk adjustment in a model. And so I think you could possibly blend those two by isolating out our approach on some degree, and then for the ruptures and the very large aneurysms to use some other kind of approach. That's the only way harmonization would work. It's not just a matter of presenting a modified model. So that's kind of the issue we're putting forth, is that harmonization is a great word, but it's kind of hard to harmonize two fundamentally different approaches.
I think that's part of the issue here. Yes.
It's Melinda. The discussion of the harmonization of those measures will follow later in today's discussion specifically. So if we can come back to this steering committee response, or the proposed response, which is simply here to say what the charge of the committee is. But the actual discussion of harmonization is scheduled to occur a bit later in the day.
Okay. So up to this point. So do you want us to, are we supposed to approve of each of these in order as they come up, Arden?
Are we supposed to approve of each of these responses in order as they come up?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
I am.
Yeah, I think that that's what we're supposed to do as a steering committee. I would say that if the SES and ARC have fundamental differences in how they're doing this, then they need to work out what the harmonization process is. We can talk about whether or not it's feasible, whether it could ever be harmonized, but we can't continue to have vastly different types of measures and just say, okay, these can't be brought together, so therefore we have these different types of measures and they go forward indefinitely. So in terms of that harmonization conversation, yeah, we can have that later, but I would say that in our proposed response here, the thing that we're missing, if this is our, if the committee agrees that this is our response, the thing that's missing here is requesting a plan for how this might be harmonized. If this is not our response, then do we need to develop an alternate response right now, Melinda?
If you give me a sense of what you want, then we can revise it and send it back. So what it says there in the last sentence is that the measure developers are asked to collaborate and bring the results of the collaboration to NQF for consideration, so to the steering committee. So does that... is that acceptable, or would you like that revised?
This is Dave Porcino. That sounds acceptable to me. I mean, we have discussed this topic thoroughly. I think I have a pretty good understanding of the SVS's position and of the ARC position, but I
David, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still on. Somebody had a siren that I think cut me off, but it would be nice. I agree with Melinda. I think that's a good way to reconcile this, is we shouldn't have another discussion of this harmonization issue till there's a proposal as to how it might be done.
Okay, and what do we do in the situation where the two groups say that they simply cannot harmonize their measures?
We pick one.
You might pick one. You might make a determination that with additional input, it's appropriate to have more than one you might ask the CSAC to provide some guidance further. So you do have options. In this case, the discussion of the related and competing issues around these measures has not been completed. And it is slated for this meeting.
All right. Are we, Melinda, are we supposed to vote on our response, or are we permitted to simply move on?
You're permitted to move on if that's a consensus, and you will see these back again before they're finalized.
Okay. Everybody agree with that? Anybody dissent from that?
Yep.
Great. Okay. So the next one on my list, and please tell me if I'm in the wrong place, is, let's see. The next thing in the table that I have is also 1623-1524. So I'm thinking that's left over on page 7 of 256.
It's a continuation.
Okay. And then the next one after that is 117, beta blockade at discharge.
Correct. And that's comment 1196.
Okay. So you can see that the measure developer response is in blue. And they're talking about how one of our issues was that we're concerned about the measure being topped out. They say no because there is a distribution. And they're worried about a decline in compliance, especially given a distribution, even though the mean is high. We also made a suggestion about the composite number, and they responded that the denominators are different among the measures that we suggested be part of the composite. And so we are, so our proposed response is that is agreeing that if there's a large distribution, then there may be opportunity for improvement still, particularly if this is a standalone measure.
That's the end.
Beg pardon?
Yes. No?
That might be a side conversation. Does anybody have a disagreement with the red font proposed response? Anybody on the steering committee?
What page of 256
are
on?
Four.
This is page 7 of 256. I hope I'm on the right page. I hope you guys will see
me. Yeah,
and
there's a
four
on
the bottom
page.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, thanks.
Okay. All right. Everybody agreed to this proposed response?
Aye.
I think that's reasonable.
Okay. And David, did you weigh in as well?
I'm happy with the proposed response, yes.
Okay, that sounds good. The next measure is, let's see, there's more on 115. This harmonization did not take place.
All right. I think we're getting it's Melinda. Yeah, it's Melinda. If there are people on the call who are not speaking, please put your phones on mute. We're hearing a lot of feedback. Thank you.
Thanks, Melinda.
And Arden, just to let you know, it's Renee Stafford. I've been on for a while.
We are, the next several measures in the table are, have a grayish-greenish background, and therefore I propose that we simply skip them because they have been addressed in other places.
Yep.
Does anybody on the committee disagree with that? All right. So moving on down to the next area that does not have a background, that is on page 12 of 256, and it's... which measure is this? It's measure 265, hospital transfer or admission.
Did you,
we still don't have folks muting.
Did you miss 1199? It's a use of IMA in cabbage.
Can you tell me what page it's on?
Well, on this, it's only three pages after the one we were just on, so I would surmise from that that whatever the page you were just on plus three. I have these printed out.
Gotcha.
This one looks pretty simple. It's, again, a concern that the IMA use is topped out, and the response is, again, that there's a distribution, and the proposed steering committee response is to accept that since there are compliance rates as low as 80%. So I would recommend we accept the steering committee proposed response. This is on 10134.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. So then the next one I see is 0265, Arden.
Okay, going back down to there. And so 265, hospital transfer to admission, the ASU has given the opportunity to respond. They agree that additional insight into the reasons for transfer are desirable. They hope to have access to the additional data collection resources in the future. So our proposed response is that support for this measure was based on the intent to improve the ASC reporting rate of less than 50%. The steward has provided information that it will select a vendor in the third quarter of 2011 to begin collecting subpopulation performance data for this measure. I'm not really sure what this means that we're going to do.
It doesn't sound to me like it's ready for prime time.
No. It sounds like it should be addressed again in the future when they have selected a vendor and start collecting performance data.
Yeah, I think we've had a lot of conversation about this measure,
yeah.
And the developer has really requested that we allow them to walk before we ask them to run. And and given that this is a burgeoning quality collaborative that as yet is not reported by the majority of ASCs, hope is that they get people on board with relatively simple measures and then make the measures more sophisticated and meaningful over time.
And I think that was the intent of the committee whenever it voted to recommend that the measure 265 for endorsement.
And I think we should still support that. I think the proposed action is appropriate.
Okay. But we support continued endorsement of this measure to avoid diminished effort toward improved reporting. So we're supporting endorsement?
Yeah, the committee voted yes to recommend endorsement.
Okay. To sort of support the whole process.
Colin Sipperson here. Just a little comment kind of some of our prior discussion. I mean, it's kind of like a negative appendectomy rate, whereas the lower is not always better. That if the hospital transfer rate is too high, that may indicate a quality problem. If it's too low, it may indicate that patients who should be transferred are being held.
Yeah.
And so in terms of defining a metric where you know what's optimum, that's where the challenge is with this.
So it's really going to require more data. So this is really more of a so, Melinda, would this be sort of more of a surveillance type of a measure?
Yes, and the intent, I believe, of the steering committee in recommending endorsement was to encourage reporting of those ASCs that are not currently reporting, and at the same time to encourage the developer to continue its work.
Okay. Anything else that anyone on the committee wants to add to the proposed response or the proposed action? Okay, the next one that I see is on page 15 of 256, and that's measure 273, perforated appendix. Anybody see one before that?
Nope.
Okay. So for measure 273.
Excuse me, Dr. Morris, this is Alexis.
Yeah.
On page 13, 1 IV 1260. Okay. Page 13 of the PDF.
Oh, thank you. And that's on Measure 265 as well?
Yes.
I think this basically also just reinforces what we were just saying. So I wouldn't add anything else to it. You guys, everybody okay with moving on?
Yep.
Yeah. Page 15, item 273. Okay. Item 273, perforated appendix. We had a comment from Humana that they were concerned about appendicitis being managed surgically. So those who present late with a perforation will represent a greater percentage of the discharges in a well-managed health system. And then their second concern was that the denominator was for a metro area, for a geographical area, making it less useful for an accountable care organization or any other organization that doesn't manage a county. And I think that's a pretty valid concern. AHRQ says that the measure is designed with the intent to measure ready access to care and the quality of care in a geographical area.
Yeah, it's a question of who the measure is for. It's not intended to be for the ACO or an individual health system. It's intended to be for the government to tell whether there are underserved populations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the denominator for the measure is pretty small if you look at individual providers.
Uh-huh. I think that, you know, when we talk about, for example, disparities in care and equity of care, a lot of times we're not just talking about racial or ethnic differences, but also rural or urban differences and resourced or under-resourced differences. So in that way, using geographical areas makes sense, since resources are closely tied to geographical areas. I would say sticking with it as it stands makes a lot of sense. But it also depends on the intent here. If the intent is accountability at the hospital level, then that could be problematic.
This is a geographic level measure. It is not an institution level measure.
How would that result in a policy change in CMS, or how would it result in a policy action within CMS?
It's not a measure that has a denominator for an individual hospital. You can run the measure for a health plan or for a capitated group or potentially for an ACO where there's a defined population. But you need a big population because the denominator is pretty small.
Who is collecting this data?
ARC develops the software and makes the software available, but you can run any data set on it.
So who would be responsible for measuring this and reporting it? Would it be the hospital?
No, because the hospital doesn't have a defined population.
Right.
It
so
would be more
the
like, well, you know, or the federal government itself. Or at the state level. And the action item, if you found a big disparity in this rate, presumably that's where you would want to devote public resources to improving access or improving care.
Ellen Superstein here. I mean, the data is going to be fairly easy to collect just from hospital discharge data. The comment is relevant because as this procedure and a number of other procedures become outpatient procedures, they're not captured as hospital discharges.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the point is to look for disparity over big geographic areas.
I guess what I'm really wondering about is who's going to be doing that looking. Like, who's going to, for a lot of these measures, it's assumed that the hospital will carry the burden of doing the measuring and reporting it, presumably to CMS for reimbursement or in ways that will be tied to non-reimbursement. And it's unclear to me how that would work for this measure, which is a geographic measure.
Well, I don't know, Arden, but many states have their own hospital discharge database.
Mm-hmm.
And so North Carolina actually has one that has discharge data. It's administrative data. So it may be actually at a state level that it gets collected.
Yeah, same way in Ohio where all hospital discharge data is collected. However,
right.
Patients who come in for an identical operation as, quote, an outpatient, even though they may spend the same time in the hospital overnight, don't fall into that requirement today.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't have an argument with the measure itself. I'm just wondering what it will actually accomplish and by whom. That's not very clear to me. I'm familiar with hospital state discharge database, state hospital discharge databases, like the one in Washington State and the one in Michigan. It's not really clear to me how this exactly would be put to use, or if it's simply going to be a measure that exists for the sake of being a measure. I don't know that we necessarily need to get stuck on that. It is hard to figure out how to support this being a burden on the hospitals, unless it's state mandated. But I don't know that we necessarily need to go I don't know if I need to necessarily keep talking about that. I mean, I sort of said my thing.
Arden, it may be useful to know that all of the measures that are identified with other than the comment that the measure is not recommended have indeed been recommended by the steering committee for endorsement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm just quickly looking back at the draft report, and it'll take a little bit for me to look, so you might want to move on. But it looks like the data comes from the HCUP inpatient databases.
Mm-hmm.
Is where it's pulled from now.
Okay. So any place that does these as outpatients won't have that data captured as well. But, okay, in terms of our response, I don't really think that we should change anything about our response.
I agree.
Anybody else want to change anything about the response to that? All right. The next one that I see is measure 284 on page 16.
Right, comment 1203.
Right. Surgery on beta blocker during the perioperative period. And this measure was developed for use in facilities. They said it could be applied at the physician level. Frankly, I'm wondering how we're going to make application at the physician level work, but that's a whole different topic. Our response was that the developer has been asked to provide information regarding what changes in testing are needed to include clinicians in the level analysis, and if there aren't any, to do so. And so I agree with the response to this. We're going to have to address this, or the NQF is going to have to address this at some point, how to apply these things at the clinician level, at what's feasible. And this might be one of the ways to begin to get into that. Anybody else on the steering committee with anything to add to the proposed response?
Well, I don't know about adding anything, but, you know, we talked about this quite a bit on several occasions, and I think in some settings, looking at the clinician level works pretty well. You've got one surgeon who's responsible for their patient's care throughout the entire time. But in a lot of academic settings, you don't have that. And so the operating surgeon may not be the person who's taking care of them in the ICU, who may not be the person who's discharging somebody. So I think that the potential for ascertainment bias is huge. And I think that's
correct.
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. I think this is one measure that won't work very well at the individual level because it's a team measure.
Well, and honestly, I think even if it would work at an individual level, I think to make it operational will be a nightmare to actually attribute exactly who did what. So I think even if you do have a single physician, I know in our system it can be very challenging to actually pin down the right person.
This is Wanda from OFMQ. The other issue is that we don't collect physician-level data because of these measures are implemented under IPPS. And so it's facility-level data, not clinician-level.
So our response.
And so we understand that's the way the data is currently collected, and that's going to be true for other measures, other comments that you're going to see. Somebody just said something that reminded me of a caveat we had added earlier in responses to comments at phase one about ascertainment and about the issues attendant to taking measures to the clinician level. And I can go back and repeat that response in this one as well.
I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. I made a note to do that.
Okay. Let's see. Our next one to discuss is... item number 1239 for measure 284 still?
Yes.
Okay. So the next comment is, so our response is use of specified codes and detailed abstraction protocol provides standardized data acquisition. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
All right. And then the next item for the same measure for 284 is that the steering committee determined this measure's focus made it unique and removed it from further harmonization discussion. And we had a long conversation about that. I'm fine with this as it stands.
Yeah.
Does anybody disagree? All right. The next thing that I have is, looks like it's on page 19, item 1235 for measure 300, cardiac patients with post-op glucose.
Yes.
All right. And this was about a glucose range. And we said that we would review the response and plan and discuss it with CMS to determine the appropriate action. So... specifically, what we mean by this is that we'll review the response from the measure developer about what the glucose range is, or the response from the technical expert panel. What did we mean specifically? And in terms of discussing it with CMS to determine the appropriate action, Wanda, can you clarify that a little bit?
It is speaking to the measure developer response.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that we need to say about this?
I think the measure developer response addresses the comment and is absolutely fine for the time being, and I think our proposed response is right.
Okay. Okay. The next one I have is... measure is item 1325, again on measure 300. And basically this was a comment from AdvaMed.
Yeah, which doesn't acknowledge the fact that shaving with a razor is acceptable in select circumstances.
Shaving with a razor?
For the scrotum and the scalp.
Okay. I'm not seeing that.
He's looking at the one just below.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were being facetious or if you were looking someplace else.
Curious.
Okay. Am I in the right spot here on page 20, or is there another one above?
No, the comment 1325, you're in the right spot.
Okay. Proposed update to the performance measure does not require. Okay. Okay, and this is from the SCS recommends blood sugar and cardiac surgery patients be maintained consistently below 180 milligrams per deciliter.
I thought we were done with that one.
I think there was one more item, one more comment, and the measure developer responded to it, and so we need to look at our steering committee proposed response. What we're saying here, this is a different response from before. The measure will be evaluated at future maintenance cycles in light of the evidence and technologies available at those reviews, and I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now on to shaving.
So could I just say we're 20 pages into 80 and 45 minutes into our meeting, so we should probably do a agenda check and decide what's the most important thing to complete today.
Well, it is important to complete going through the comments because it is based on the comments and your responses to those that we have to determine what changes, if any, go into the draft report in order to get it out to voting.
Okay, so we'll just continue as we are.
Pretty important to do that, yes.
All right, Dave, do you want to take over? Do you think you'll be more efficient than me?
No, I'm not. I didn't mean that as a critique. I just meant it as a time check.
Okay.
So, no, I mean, I don't think it matters which one of us takes us through it. It's just I think we're not going to complete the full agenda today, obviously, but it's just important to complete the things that are most important.
Okay. So next one is page 21. It is item 1205 on measure 301. And this is the hair removal that we were just talking about. CMS has decided to suspend data collection requirements to address the comments and concerns. And what we said was that evidence supports shaving in select circumstances and to balance the need to reduce the number of measures. Steering committee recommends the measures be endorsed and placed in reserve status. Any objections to that statement, to that response?
Nope.
Okay. Next one is on page 22, it's item 1241, and the measure 339. And I don't see the steering committee proposed response. Is this grouped with the following item in the table?
It looks like the proposed response is down a couple.
Yeah, a couple rows?
Yeah.
Or down one row? Okay.
The proposed steering committee response is on page 22 of the PDF.
Right. There were a couple of the comments were along the lines of that this would be from Humana, this would be of greater value if there were listings of the volumes of cases, extracardiac diagnoses, intracardiac, and complex cases. And the comment from the National Partnership for Women and Families is that they question why it's not specified for application at the clinician level. The measure developer said that it was aiming at populating the, basically it was aiming at the hospital level or even area geographic level, and that anything about the performance of the measure at the individual clinician level is just not known yet. Our response is that the steering committee has determined that the measure, which is a harmonization measure, is strong, and it would be paired with measure 340. To provide important information about pediatric heart surgery. And so basically it's a fairly favorable response, and I think that we should go with it. Does anybody object to that?
No.
Sounds good.
All right. Moving on next is 340 on page 23, item 1207. And basically it just underscores our previous response that we're in favor of this paired with 339. And that in the future, if there is an appropriate measure to be applied at the clinician level, that we would welcome that. And then our subsequent item is 1236, and basically we're not saying anything that's different in our proposed response. Everybody okay with that proposed response for measure 340?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next, we have several grayed out measures, and then we have on page 24, we have item 1208, or measure 351, death among inpatients with treatable complications.
You
sure me? I don't think they're going to say anything.
You
want a should we keep going here, or does somebody on the committee have something to say?
Keep going.
Okay. So I'm 1208. Pacific Business Group on Health questions why this measure uses hierarchical risk modeling. The measure developer said that the measure can be calculated to produce a risk-adjusted rate and a smoothed rate. And the user has the option to use either one. And so we thought that was acceptable. Okay to move on?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Item 1209, it's for measure 352, failure, rescue, and hospital mortality. Let's see, comment was from the Pacific Business Group on Health, and they questioned why the measure was not applied at the clinician level. We're going to be dealing with this, I suspect, further down in this table, and that will continue to come up in a variety of measures. The developer said that it has always been a hospital measure, and that's absolutely true. Our proposed response is that failure rescue in the hospital setting involves many systems and professional disciplines, and that has been shown repeatedly. In many different studies and many different settings. So I think we should move on from there.
Yeah, I think our response is fine. We should stick to that. This can't be individually attributed.
No.
Next one is item 1243 for measure 352. And we are agreeing that use of DNR status as an exclusion could result in hospital differences due to different DNR processes. So we are really saying that adjusting for DNR, so what we're saying is that we shouldn't adjust for DNR status.
That's what the developer suggests.
Yeah, and we're agreeing with them. Because the DNR process differs in different hospitals. How about this from the committee? Do you guys agree with this response?
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Next is item 1265, again for 352. This is a comment that basically this is appropriate for measuring hospital performance. And a comment that they support harmonization with the pediatric ARC measure. We don't really see a pediatric failure to rescue measure, so this is probably something for the future. And I think we should move on from there. The next thing that I see is down considerably to page 31. This is item 1211 for measure 515 ambulatory patients with hair removal, so back to hair removal. And this, again, was agreed upon in support of the ASC's attempt to, of ASC's effort to improve their rate of measurement. And then we also said absent evidence to the contrary, razors are an acceptable measure for preoperative removal of scrotal hair. The exclusion of patients who shave themselves does not diminish capability of the measure. self-shaving would be an appropriate consideration. So basically, we're supporting the ASCs. Anybody object to that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Next one, page 32. This is item 1266. The comment is from America's Health Insurance Plans, and they recommend harmonization of measure 515 with measure 301, and I think that the measure is aligned with 301. That's our response. Okay. Page 33, item 1212, measure 527, prophylactic received within 1 hour. The comment from Pacific Business Group on Health is that they don't support this measure being used on its own, that it should be combined with 528 and with the already endorsed measure of cessation of prophylactic antibiotic administration. The measure developer responded that the measure is collected as part of a bundle of measures. It's abstracted for all SCIP measures. We say that it's assessed as an important care process. So it was not submitted for consideration as part of a composite, but for endorsement as a standalone measure, and that does not preclude reporting it with a composite or including in a composite. And I think that pretty much says that. I mean, I think that would be certainly an appropriate composite measure for the future. But this is our response now. Any objections?
Nope.
Okay. Next, page 34, item 1267, measured 528, again, prophylactic selection. America's Health Insurance Plan says that this measure seems too prescriptive. The measure developer responded that this is based on several guidelines, not a single class of antimicrobials, so rather a category. And we said the measure is supported by the evidence. I can tell you this is what's happening in hospitals right now, particularly in our hospital here at University of Michigan. So I really agree with the response as it's written. Anybody have any objections to that?
Nope.
Agree with you.
Okay. Item 1213, page 35, measure 1519, statin therapy. After LEB, the comment is that this is a prescription measure that does not generate the most valuable information, and the Pacific Group, Business Group on Health recommends that the NQF replace this measure with one that looks at health outcomes and whether the treatment recommended at discharge is adhered to by patients. I think it's very, very hard to measure and to charge hospitals or clinicians with measuring specifically and measuring adherence. That's a burden that would be very difficult.
I would agree. And the question is, what outcomes?
Medicare, pardon me.
What outcomes would you look at?
Yeah. Right. And I think that I really like the response to the steering committee response that the focus of the measure is determined to be important, it's guideline-based, and performance rate is at 79%, and that the NQF will continue to seek outcome measures that can supplement or supplant process measures. Hopefully, will supplement process measures, but this is an enormous challenge that so far hasn't actually played out very well in the United States. But I think that's an appropriate response. Next one I have is on page 38. Item 1215, and it's for measure 1536. Anybody see anything about that that I missed? Okay. The Pacific Business Group on Health states that this would be more useful if the measure were reported in categories reflecting the amount of improvement that the patient experiences. So basically a patient-reported outcome. And what we said was the measure developer responded, and we said that categories reflecting the amount of improvement may be possible essentially in the future, and we wanted to encourage the developer to continue to evolve that. And you'll probably remember that our discussion was actually quite favorable about this measure and the purpose of this measure, and we definitely support the patient-centeredness and patient-reported outcome. side of it. All right, so moving on. Now page 41, item 1270, measure 1540, post-op stroke or death, undergoing carotid endarterectomy. The America's Health Insurance Plans commented that the intent of this measure seems to be unclear. The measure would be more meaningful if either the current scope is broadened to include all adverse outcomes or limited only to neurovascular complications. The measured developer response was that their measure covered all the concerns raised during the public comment period and believes that they're well addressed. And our steering committee proposed response is that we believe that carotid endarterectomy may be overutilized, and I think this is largely based on Vivian's comments, overutilized in asymptomatic patients, and that this measure would be useful in assessing that possibility, definitely looking at adverse outcomes if in the setting of overuse. The SES has noted that we'll request that this and other measures be included in PQRS data. So I think that that's an appropriate response. Anything else from the committee?
Did anybody address the issue of MI?
I believe that this was just around stroke, wasn't it? Stroke or death.
Is this the measure that is analogous to the small aneurysm measure? This is a post-op stroke or death in patients with asymptomatic carotid endarterectomy. Is that the idea?
Right. Yeah.
Was the issue of the comment about MI addressed, or because it is there is controversy about whether MI should be measured after?
The only way that it was addressed in the measure developer response is that the measure developer said that they've already covered all of the concerns that were raised during the public comment period.
This is Tim Kreswick. I'm still on if you want. But the problem with MI is that without a standard protocol for capturing MI, you're going to have vast differences because of the way people approach it and code it. So that's our major concern about using myocardial infarction until there's a standard approach to defining what is a postoperative MI.
Well, there are very standardized approaches with, for example, the CREST trial, which was recently completed, had a very standardized approach, Tim. The other thing I would comment is that the same should be true for stroke. Measuring stroke needs to be very standardized, and I'm not sure that's quite standardized either. You know, whether if it's an NIH stroke scale, that should probably be expressed in the measure.
I think that's a separate discussion, but the problem is that I would agree that in a randomized trial where you have prospective data collection, these can be addressed. But we're talking about here measures that are being applied across the community where there's no definite protocol. That's the problem here. But that's why MI is not addressed as a specific complication until there's a standardized approach.
This is Rick. I believe there are standardized definitions of periop MI that are used in several different registries and projects. But I think this is an important comment to include MI in this. The death rate from MI or the occurrence rate of MI may be higher than the occurrence rate of stroke for endarterectomies.
The recent CREST trial, 25% of the patients who had MI actually were dead within a year after endarterectomy or stenting for that matter. That's the only reason I raised it. It is an issue.
And again, I totally agree that in a registry, which we do have standardized definition, but again, this is based on claims data, which is a completely small, and that's the reason it's not addressed. I mean, this is a long discussion. I think it's an important discussion, but at the current time, using existing claims data, it's very difficult to capture this complicated. Totally agree. In a prospective, in a registry, you can deal with these things, but this is not a registry measure.
Then how do they measure stroke? I would think exactly the same issues would apply.
Well, I think we'll get to that on the next page.
Okay.
It's Melinda, and I just flipped back to the description of the measure in the report, and it speaks only to carotid territory neurological retinal symptoms. So in terms of including MI, as it is described, it appears it would not fit.
Should we say anything else in our comments? Or in our response, rather?
Can we suggest to SVS that they consider making this a broader measure of bad outcome after endarterectomy?
Are we allowed to do that? I suppose that we could ask them to do this for future, for maintenance of it, potentially when it comes up for maintenance.
Yes.
Just one final comment. We do have a broader measure that's already proposed in the works for PQRS, and when it's appropriate, we can bring that forward in QF. But that is in the works.
So, Tim, I'm sorry. This is Ken Rosenfield, and I probably shouldn't be saying anything because I'm not a member of this committee, but I'm just curious. Is this is purely based on administrative data that this measure is? Because if it is, I really question the accuracy of stroke detection.
And I apologize. I missed. We've got so many different things going on right now, and in terms of how these are approached, we do have a plan for doing this with administrative data only, using Category 2 codes. And so there's several things going on. I think the one that the committee is dealing with right now is proposed as a registry measure, and because of the limitations in what could be proposed to the NQF at this time. So I did misspeak. But I do think this about the myocardial infarction is a much more complex discussion that I don't think the committee has time for at this point in time. And we do tend to stress other complications in a subsequent measure, but I hope this one can just stand alone at the current time because that's the way it was proposed.
And it's been recommended for endorsement as it was submitted, and we can include a comment with the proposed response that that the committee would like the developer to look at broadening in the future.
Yeah, and that we especially encourage them to identify a way to include MI in the measure. Okay, I think
I might suggest also that you include a comment asking them to standardize their measurement of how they're going to measure stroke, because it's you double the rate of stroke if you measure it with an independent assessment or more.
And that is in the red.
Who was it that just spoke?
I'm sorry. This is Ken Rosenfield, and I'm not a member of the committee. But
so
it's
you're
relevant
telling us how we should respond?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Okay.
I sorry.
All righty. Let's see. Let's move on. The next one that I have is item 1185, and it's measure 1543. Is that correct, Melinda and Alexis? Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes. and basically, this is simply a comment, not an in-depth response. I'm moving down a little bit further. Item 1271 on page 43. It's also for 1543, and this refers back to the previous comment. This didn't, on my computer, this does not look grayed out.
Right, and it should be.
Okay. Next one that I think we need to talk about is item 1189, measure 1550, hospital level RSCR following total hip or total knee. This one's a little bit different. This is from the American Association of Orthopedic Surgeons. And the concern, the comment from the AAOS. Is Jim Carpenter on the line, by the way? Okay. The AAOS believes more work needs to be done on risk adjustment to avoid unintended consequences of denying care to the most vulnerable patients. I think this especially arises with accountability measures. The AAOS urges the NQF to develop a means for risk adjusting for the wide variation of patient characteristics. I don't really think that that's the NQF's charge to develop risk adjusting. But I do think that risk adjusting is a very good idea. And it may be that this should bounce back to a committee within the AAOS to develop a reasonable means for risk adjusting because they are appreciating the importance of it. The measure developer response is that goal of outcomes measurement is to identify variation in the quality of care. Yes. Variation in quality is associated with population characteristics. They may indicate disparities in the quality of the care provided to vulnerable populations, potentially, and risk adjusting these away would obscure the disparities. And we had a long discussion of this, I think, more than once in our steering committee. And I think that we all basically came to a fairly similar understanding. I hope I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth, but that we really agree that we don't want to adjust away disparities because then we simply can't recognize them. The downside, of course, is that if hospitals are held accountable for their worst outcomes and they're treating sicker or poorer patients who tend to have worse outcomes, then they may be unfairly penalized. That is, under-resourced hospitals may become even more under-resourced. Our steering committee proposed response is that the goal of both the AAOS and CMS appears to be to ensure that these patients have equal access to appropriate care. As noted by CMS, the ability to report disparities, including those related to vulnerable populations, but this doesn't seem like a complete sentence to me. And Jeff looks forward to seeing these data reported within the next 3 years. I think that there is a clause missing here after low SES comma. Is there something missing from that sentence?
It's that it's desirable, you know, the ability to report disparities, including those related to vulnerable populations, would be desirable. So, therefore,
okay.
NQF looks forward to seeing this data reported within the next 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, and then I think, you know, perhaps we could add another sentence about how we encourage interested parties like the AAOS to develop or to come up with some ideas for appropriate risk adjustment. I think that would be reasonable. Does anybody on the committee disagree?
Nope.
Okay, great. Moving on to page 45, item 1218. Measure 1550, same thing. Okay, so that potentially should be grayed out as well. And then the next one down is comment 1219. And this is from the Pacific Business Group on Health. They question why measurement would not apply at the clinician level. It's really a facility-level measurement.
I'm sorry. Could we go back to 1218, though, before we
sure,
go to 1219?
Absolutely.
The steering committee proposed response is to accept the CMS developer's response.
No.
And it does seem like the Pacific Business Group on Health, whenever they see a model modeled with hierarchical risk modeling, that this criticism as to why not use standard logistic regression is always leveled. And this is really a response to the critique of hierarchical modeling. And I guess at some point, by saying we accept the CMS response above, that is the reason why we're agreeing to a measure with hierarchical modeling. So I would just suggest that that might be a cut-and-paste response to the critique of hierarchical model if indeed we're going to endorse it.
I agree.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to divert us there.
No problem. Let's see. The next is comment 1219, and our proposed response is that the use of the The use required of the measure requires facility-level measurement, which is appropriate. Application at the clinician level will be explored with CMS. This is going to be a lot of labor here, the clinician-level measures. That's not really what we're doing in this particular steering committee. So I think that this proposed response is appropriate. Anything else anyone wants to add to it?
I agree. It's the same attribution question as a lot of these, and I think we should stay at the facility level.
Can we consider that to be sort of a virtually grayed out response now to this question?
Yeah. Please.
Okay. Fantastic. All right. Just cruising down the table here. Next one I have is on page 56. It's comment 1309, again to measure 1550. And this comment is from Next Wave. It's about future refinements.
Yeah, half of these operations are done in patients less than 65 who therefore wouldn't qualify for this measure. And I think we said when we discussed it that we should expand it to all patients, and the developer agreed. So I think our response is fine.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay. And I think, and how's your mom doing? Let's see. Next one is comment 1190.
Arden, this is Terry. Can I just make one quick comment about facility versus doc stuff? You know, ultimately, it has to get down to the doc. And the one, the only small part that bothers me, this is a philosophical response that's not pertinent to any specific measure here, is that if you just do facilities, you really depend upon the facilities to do the work necessary to make changes, which ultimately is on the shoulders of the docs, who over decades have shown a singular inability to have those kind of tough conversations. So at some point it has to be taken on. You know, we're counting on...
I completely agree.
We're counting on the technical issues of, oh, we just can't get it. But ultimately, you know, each of us has to stand up and be responsible for what's going on. So that's it. I feel better now when we can move.
Terry, I'm glad that you brought that up. I completely agree. I just think that we haven't sorted out a way to do it appropriately. I think that there will be more and more interest in that, and there also will be a what I anticipate would be a fairly vehement response on the part of individual clinicians that are collaboratively grouped together. But I think we all recognize that it needs to go that way. On the other hand, this really is a team sport, and individual clinicians can do a lot, but they can't, you know, but then there are some things, for example, with failure rescue, where it's really sort of a team approach and what's available in the facility. So I think that this is going to have to be addressed, and the NQF will have to basically plan ahead about how to take it on. Within our committee, we're not really at that point.
Right, I agree.
But I'm glad you brought it up.
And I feel sure that with these comments and the discussion, when it goes forward to the CSAC, it will be discussed.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. So I think we're just about to embark on comment 1190 for measure 1551?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. This is hospital level 30-day all cause.
Yeah, this one could be grayed out. We've already done this one. This is the adjustment for socioeconomic status.
Okay, great. Thank you, David. Anybody object to a virtual graying out of that?
Nope.
Okay, great. Next one is comment 1220 for 1551.
Hi, it's Vivian Halpern. I just got out of the OR.
Oh, okay. Thanks for joining us. So right now, Vivian, we're on page of the document that Alexis sent out. I believe it was on Friday. It's 256 pages, and we're on page 58. We're looking at comment 1220, which is in the far left column. The measure is in the far right column, and that's measure 1551. We already agreed that we're going to routinely respond to comments about hierarchical risk modeling the same way they've come up multiple times. We've talked about it. And so I don't think we need to particularly discuss this one. Anybody disagree with that? Okay. The next comment is 1254, just below that, the row below. And it's from Humana, stating that this should become a submeasure and that the methodology should be harmonized. Let's see. Harmonized with what? So the measure developer responds that this measure is intended as a peers measure, the hospital risk standardized complications measure, to evaluate hospital performance after total hips and total knees. And so paired is not quite the same as harmonized. And we are sort of clarifying that in our response. Anybody disagree with the response that we have listed?
No.
Okay. Next is page 59, comment 1273. That's from measure 1551. And this was about expanding out to people under the age of 65. And that's a plan that's coming into play. Next is comment 1308.
Are we on the harmonized?
That one is grayed out.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not grayed out on my page. Okay. Fine. Thank you. Let's see. The next one that I have here is comment 1181. Does that fit with what you guys have?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And these comments going forward relate to measures that the steering committee did not recommend for endorsement.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
So for measure 364, rare operation did not meet the criteria of importance. For measure 367, 368, we said that the occurrence of wound dehiscence is concerning, but the measure did not pass the criterion for importance. It didn't provide actionable data based on the low rate of dehiscence that remained stable over a period of time during which the measure had been in use. There is good evidence that the major underlying problem is infection, lack of standard care for prevention, and the inability to reduce the rate due to lack of non-patient-specific factors. So basically, we didn't really see much that could be done to improve the quality here based on how the measure was written. Anybody disagree with that response?
Nope.
Okay, great. And then looking for the next one that's not grayed out, I have 1186. This is for measure 1531, follow-up assessment after carotid.
What page is that?
It's on page 63 out of 256. And it's comment 1186 in the left-hand column. And it's for measure 1531, follow-up assessment after a carotid revascularization. And we liked the idea behind this, a standardized neurologic assessment, but we didn't see that there was evidence that this assessment would be linked to improvement in outcome. We didn't know that data ascertainment would be uniformly possible. And baseline and post-procedural testing may not be comparable. Those were our concerns. Anybody disagree with that response?
Oh.
This is Fred in the City with the MCDR. Can I make a comment, or if there's time?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So just a few things about this measure, and I know you all have put a lot of time in considering it, and we appreciate that. And I think a lot of the comments have been made about some of the other measures that have been forwarded for endorsement are relevant, and that obviously none of the measures are perfect. I think the discussion of the hospital transfer measure was relevant to that. You know, there's this discussion about, you know, walking before running and starting at a realistic level, which is what we're hoping to do with this measure of reporting outcomes. I think the discussion about the SBS measure discussion about the need for standardized assessment of stroke outcomes after carotid artery surgery is also relevant here. I think, you know, it seems to me like in the discussion, it's certainly not the majority of the steering committee agreed with the endorsement. There was a pretty strong plurality, though, of support. I think with the comments you'll see support both from patient groups, provider groups, and industry groups for this measure. So I would, you know, make a respectful plea for reconsideration for possible endorsement of this measure.
I think that as a committee that we certainly supported the spirit of the measure. Vivian, what are yours? Did you have this one? Were you?
No, I didn't present this one, but I did say that I think that it's actually a good idea to have a standardized. I mean, it depends on how you view this measure as a, you know, just to show that there's actually a standardized follow-up, because I think that there's not. You know, if I look amongst all my colleagues, I have to be honest, and I would say I think that there is not. There's a lot of people who are doing carotid interventions. So I think, again, the spirit of it is a good idea. What would we need to hear from them to make us feel more comfortable with supporting it? I mean, I think if I don't remember the details of, you know, what they found the performance was overall.
Yeah, I think the details were provided, but there's actually, even within the registry, fairly wide variation in terms of the performance on this measure. And I think this is sort of a little bit of a tough one to hold to the standard of showing a relationship with outcomes per se in terms of, you know, where's the data going to come from to compare, you know, sites that are performing a standardized assessment and those warrants. So that's it's a particularly high bar in this case. And again, in order to even start comparing outcomes, they have to be reported, and, you know, and follow-up has to be standardized. And indeed, we responded to the comments of the steering committee by changing the time frame of ascertainment after the original, you know, conversation, so as to provide, you know, the maximum flexibility for practitioners and sites to report this. And, you know, again, I think this is really a walk before run sort of thing, where it's hard to say we're going to compare outcomes using standardized measures and relatively standardized follow-up using what we all agree is a reasonable standard of care for patients getting carotid surgery without, you know, first, you know, collecting these things and making sure that it's done in a standardized and reasonable way for this procedure that's highly sensitive to outcome, to surgical complications.
And I think that's both carotid stenting and surgery, right, that you were talking
that's
about
correct.
It with any carotid intervention.
That's
so I do think it's important to have it standardized, as he was alluding to, in terms of being able to compare outcomes in a reasonable way, in terms of, you know, which one is better or if any is better, in terms of, you know, there's some papers that just recently came out in the last month or so that I'm sure you're aware of that show that maybe we shouldn't be intervening on a lot of the asymptomatic patients. So I think
you brought that up before.
Right,
yeah.
And I think amongst many of the surgical procedures, fewer is sensitive to the outcome, you know, the complication rates as carotid surgery. Of course, it's true for any procedure, but it's particularly true for carotid surgery and stenting.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else on the committee have anything to add to this discussion? David?
Yeah, I mean, my feeling on this one, again, is that it's a absolutely wonderful concept and a terrific measure and ought to be a standard, but it's difficult to figure out how it would be implemented and what would result in this accepted and taken on as a universal practice. And that's, I think, why we had a problem with it. I mean, basically, this is putting in a requirement for a an additional part of evaluation and documentation, basically in an outpatient setting where it's very hard to reach universally. So I guess you could say, well, walk before you can run, do it where you can, but it's probably the very places where it's least likely to be done that it would be most valuable to have it done. So I'm not sure what the standard would be that we'd be able to
I totally see your point. I guess that, you know, the same could be said about just about any sort of registry-based measure, which this is, that absent, you know, a registry, and there are a number of registries where this could be used in, that absent an existing registry, that obviously, you know, data collection would be difficult. But, that, you know, for those where there is registry participation and, you know, where this might stimulate registry participation, I think that, you know, the argument remains that this is the kind of thing that I think we should be doing in those patients who undergo this procedure, and we should be holding, you know, practitioners who you know, perform these surgeries accountable for understanding what their outcomes are. But I completely appreciate your point. I think it's relevant to just about any non-administrative-based measure, although even they, you know, don't have complete coverage, as you've discussed with the CMS measures. You know, they only apply to CMS. They don't apply to all payers.
Right.
But that's not stopping those measures nor necessarily should it.
As I recall, we had a lot of discussion about who was going to do this exam, a neurologist, a certified examiner, and that was the other question about who would do the exam and the implementation so that the data would be comparable.
Yeah, so really the approach to making this data comparable is to have any examiner, whoever it may be, certified using the free, you know, certification process that's available for determining these things. So it didn't so much depend on the practitioner as much as it depended upon the uniformity of a highly accessible approach to standardizing the assessment for this outcome.
Well, how does the committee feel? Do you guys feel like you would like to discuss this further? We spent a considerable amount of time on it previously. I don't know that it's actually possible for us to put it back in the mix for reconsideration. Melinda, is that even possible?
It would be possible for you to do it. I don't know what additional information you would need to be able to do that, and I do know that whatever is going to be done, it's going to have to be done quickly.
Yeah.
I
don't really think that there's any additional information for us. I mean, we could, one of the things that we could consider is we've striven for consistency, but of course at different times our discussion does ebb and flow. And I think that in some ways we did provide some leniency when we were looking at, for example, the ASC measures. Because we wanted to be supportive of what we thought was a very good idea.
The one thing that has happened between your prior discussion and now too is the receipt of a number of comments from a variety of constituencies that express support for it as well. So there is some, mm-hmm. there does appear to be pretty broad appeal to it.
Okay, I'd like to hear from the steering committee members about whether we think that we have really chewed this one over as thoroughly as we can, or whether we're willing to reconsider it.
So my own view is that this is a very worthy measure, and I have no doubt that we could probably get more people who would endorse that point of view by talking about it again or soliciting more support. I guess what I would say it would take to convince me that the NQF ought to endorse this would be just some additional, I think, spreading the interval helps, but some additional hook or some additional idea that would actually make it happen. Because endorsing a measure that then just simply doesn't get implemented, it seems like it's a bit of an empty exercise. I don't know how we can make this happen. I mean, people joining a registry obviously is a perfectly good way for the registry to grow, but if this is going to be a universal measure, could there be something in payment policy, for example, that, I don't know, decremented payment if this wasn't satisfied? Is there something that could be done to actually create some practical sense that this is something that will take hold?
So perhaps what you're looking for is that the developer continue to work with this and bring it forward at a future time whenever some additional work can be done on how to make it practical to implement. Is that?
Yeah, or maybe some sort of statement from the ACC and the SVS that, you know, this will, you know, that it's in, that this concept is firmly endorsed by both societies, and that, you know, that there will be a, I guess we'd have to include radiologists as well, that there will be a, you know, high priority effort around this implementation. I think we all think this is a great measure. I think we just are skeptical that it's going to happen.
Now let's revise our proposed response to include that, to sort of leave the door open and certainly to encourage the developers to talk about the practical implementation.
Okay.
This is Ken Rosenthal. I think speaking on behalf of ACC, we greatly appreciate that leaving the door open, and we can go back and work on this, the payment policy issues, the implementation policy, or the ways to encourage implementation. I think, you know, this is a very close vote. It was 12. It was pretty close, and there are 20 pages of comments from a variety of both other societies, including the neurology societies, neurosurgical societies, patient care, patient groups, and hospital systems and industry, AdvaMed, and industries, individuals in practice and patient coalitions. So I think there's broad-based support for this kind of standardization, and so we appreciate the opportunity to keep it on the table and work on it a little bit more.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds to me like our concerns is how is it going to be implemented broadly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and move on to comment 1248 for measure 1548, surveillance after endovascular abdominal aortic aneurysm repair.
I'll speak as a vascular surgeon. It's a similar issue. One, everybody should be surveyed. However, all of us have seen patients who have fallen through the cracks in terms of getting their surveillance done. I think that probably the issue is going to be the same, that it looks like it was chosen by PQRS in 2012, pending final approval by CMS, so I think maybe we should keep it open because then it would be fairly easy to catch that data for anybody doing endovascular aneurysm repairs to make sure that they're getting appropriate follow-up.
Okay.
If you see the SVS comment, it looks like they said it was chosen by PQRS.
Yeah, that's what they said. David, any comments about this one?
That makes sense to me. That would be a big help, and it might be a help for the carotid measure as well.
What page are you on, Arden?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's page 84 out of 256.
Got it.
On the bottom of the page, it says 80.
Yeah.
Was that Richard?
No, it's Terry.
Oh, Terry. Okay, yeah. Terry, do you have a specific interest in this measure or response?
No, I just want to know where you were.
Okay. Anybody else have anything that they'd like to say about this one? I think that responding in an analogous way makes sense. Analogous to that, to our previous response. More than that permissible?
Yes, but what I want to understand is my takeaway from this is that these measures are not recommended for endorsement at this time, however.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, and basically sort of a message of support, really.
Right. Okay.
Let's see.
And I would say about the carotid measure, too, the idea that Dr. Tarciana said about making it a PQRS thing also might make it easier to capture the data.
Okay.
So what we need to do now probably is have a period of public comment and acknowledge among ourselves that we have gone nearly as far as we're going to be able to go today and that we're going to have another call.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think this was an ambitious agenda. We got through a lot, but certainly not all of it. So,
right. So can we go ahead and have a period of public comment? And while we're doing that, Alexis, can you look at it and tell us what we should go ahead and get finished today if we can?
Sure.
So everyone
on the lines for comment. Do we have anyone that would like to comment on the discussion thus far?
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone's line is open at this time if you have a question or a comment.
Okay, Drs. Tortiana and Morris and Melinda, I think we might have time to do the phase two measure follow-up. Next agenda item.
Okay, that's what's on your agenda at 4:45.
Yes.
Okay. So that would start with abdominal aortic aneurysm volume, 0357.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And in your package, you got an updated submission.
Is that just the gal on the line who is going to discuss it? It seems it's going to be a paired with the mortality.
Yes, they are identified. They were initially endorsed as paired measures. What the committee had talked about is a request that the measures be combined into a single measure and stratified, ruptured, unruptured, open, and endovascular repair, and those changes, the approach, they remain as two measures. They are stratified, ruptured, unruptured, open, and endovascular. So the question at this point for an ARC representative, and I heard Jeff a little bit ago, I'm not sure if anyone else is on, is to speak to the potential for combining these into a single measure, 357 and 359.
Hi, this is Jeff. So in our resubmission for the mortality measure, we did describe a methodology for combining them into a single measure, basically by using the volume-specific mortality as the reference for the shrinkage for each of the four categories, the four strata. So the mortality measure, as currently specified, does combine the volume and the mortality into a single measure.
Okay, so measure 359, correct?
359, right.
Hi, this is Alexis. Measure 359 was not resubmitted. It was measure 357, the volume measure that was resubmitted recently.
No, it was 359 because that's the measure that I think we did actually both of them, 357 and 359, because both were stratified by these four different categories. And
right, so they were both stratified, so... you're saying that in the mortality measure, they they now are combined.
But we don't have the mortality measure. It wasn't given to us with our paperwork, only the volume.
Right. So what we've got to do is to go back and take a look to see if we had both of them that were submitted to NQF and that we did not get out to you, or get hold of that from Mark. And I'm trying to look right now for the...
Yeah, this is John Bott with ARC. I believe it was September 7th that we resubmitted IQI 11, the mortality measure, per the steering committee's requests and comments. Same with IQI 4, the volume measure was resent with some steering committee comments that they want integrated in. Also on September 7th is the date I have.
Okay, so what we're going to have to do then is table this for our follow-up call and provide that to the committee because
if they're going to be combined, why not submit them as one?
Well, the way I understand it is because there was the request to stratify at such a granular level, Jeff came up with a methodology which he calls the integrating structure, and Jeff can explain this better than I can. And so one of those structural elements that was built into the mortality measure was volume. But in my interactions with Alexis and others at NQF is we're still seeking to maintain endorsement of the volume measure as well as this refined mortality measure. So the mortality measure is drawing upon volume in the measurement, but we are asking to maintain our volume measure as we've always done.
So what we need to do, though, really is to get 359 out to the group. We need to be sure they've got it in hand with 357 because the discussion of whether to have one or to maintain 357 as well, they cannot best discuss without seeing both of them. So we need to do that and bring that to the next call.
Okay.
So then can we go ahead to talk about 365 and 366? In the few minutes we have?
I think so.
I have to tell you that I have 5 minutes exactly and no more than that.
Okay.
I think we can dispatch this one pretty quickly. This is Rick. I was responsible for these. The request we had made was to, since this is a paired measure of volume and mortality after pancreatic surgery, originally when we looked at them, one was just malignant surgery, and one was both benign and malignant, and we asked them to fix that, and now they are both benign and malignant.
I'm with you. Okay with me.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds good.
Sounds good. So given we're less than 5 minutes now and we can't do justice to anything and 3 minutes or less. Alexis, maybe you can just spend a minute or two talking about next steps at this point, and we get another call scheduled as quickly as possible.
Sure. So as far as next steps, Melinda and I will revise the proposed responses by the committee and get it out to you for final approval. And we will also send you all survey for a follow-up call. Hopefully we can have this follow-up call within the next week if the majority of the committee is available. And we'll make sure that the agenda items that weren't discussed today were on this.
That sounds good.
Okay, so thank you all, and thanks to those of you who made yourselves available today, and we did not get to discussion of your measures, please do join us at the next call. you can tell by looking at the agenda, we had hoped to do far more than what was humanly possible. So thanks to each and every one of you.
All right. Thanks, Melinda. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.